Romans from here, Lord willing. Let's see, fourth chapter of James. Let's get three verses here. 13th verse says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Now in praying, and then of course in this fifth chapter is where James goes much into prayer, situations of prayer where it's needful and all, but we'll see in a moment, this is almost implying that you might as well not make a bunch of plans. And I've read, written in some form or another, you know, we make plans and then God laughs at that. But we'll see that the Apostle Paul did that. But when we plan, and I'm a big planner, I like to know what's going to happen the next several days, weeks, certainly moments. Want to be prepared for anything. I laugh at that, trying to be prepared for anything. But we plan, but we keep a loose grip on those plans. And we do it prayerfully. There's the connection there then, the prayerfully. And we'll see, the Apostle Paul did this. He followed, he had plans, and yet he followed Jesus Christ, God Almighty, in those. He only wanted to preach the gospel, preach Christ and Him crucified, which he did. And we'll see another part of his life here in a moment. Yes, it's been way over a year now, last January, February, and all, when I went through some of the preaching journeys of the Apostle Paul. So interesting to me to read about that and where all he established churches. So when we do make plans, certainly do it prayerfully. We plan. We read of the different meetings and church meetings, weekend meetings of churches and all around, and we plan whether or not we're going to be able to go to those. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes our secular jobs get in the way of those. Next week, I hope next Saturday to go up to Denton. That's their annual meeting, and so I plan to do that, but I do it prayerfully. I would hope that if I got a strong unction not to go to that particular meeting, then I would, maybe there's something else that day that God would have for me to do, to serve God's people, to serve Him. But we make plans and then go, and a lot of times I'll tell Kathy, well, if nothing happens, if nothing changes, you know, let's do this. And all, and then sometimes things change, sometimes they don't. But it's like we shall live and do this or that. Our life is a vapor. Now I look back, and over 60 years behind me in my life and all, and I'm about to surpass the amount of days that my dad lived here come this August. Be older than he was when his soul and spirit was called home to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. But 60 years is a long time. And so I look back and things change, but we make plans, but we do it prayerfully and keep a loose grip on those. And yet, I think with my personality, with the way I handle things, my family, only the three of us, and now we have a wonderful daughter-in-law and about to have a granddaughter and so forth. But I can remember when I would be unyielding on the plans that I had made. And maybe I shouldn't have done that, but no, we're going to stick with this plan and do it. And that usually worked out. When I changed plans, it just didn't work out. So I'm going to start there. And now I want to go over to the book of Romans. First chapter to begin with here, Romans chapter 1, and this will kind of introduce the time in the Apostle Paul's life as he wrote this letter to the church at Rome, where he had never been. He had not been there. But in Romans chapter 1, I'm going to pick a few verses out of here to set this up. 11th verse, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established," strengthened, built up, encouraged, established. "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Let me grab one more verse. So, the 15th verse. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." So he's writing this letter in the very first chapter. He tells them that he has a desire to come visit them there and to preach to them and to be comforted with them. There at Rome, at that church there, never having been there. Don't know who the pastor was there at that church, when that church at Rome was constituted. Who was there when they constituted that church? We know there were both Gentiles and Jews in that church, primarily Gentiles. So that church was established. He wants to go there. The Apostle Paul, as I tried to preach last year, early last year, on some of his travels, we see where all he went with his fellow ministers, and then Timothy, who was ordained, laid hands upon as a minister, in all these different places in Asia and then in Eastern Europe. But here he wants to go there, and he tells them why he wants to come. "As much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." Where let me spend most of the rest of my time this morning, the 15th chapter of Romans, the second to last chapter in this book, in this letter, epistle. As I head down to the thought that I really want to impress upon you all, the 13th verse of this 15th chapter, he says, Apostle Paul says to the church at Rome, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So he's not being critical here. He's encouraging them in this part of the letter, at least. As he writes this, though, and when I think of Romans, I think of all of the theology that's in there. To keep a handle on this whole picture but it's still a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. He's writing all this stuff. "I want to come see you. I'm going to want to come preach to you. And I don't believe I've ever told a church that I'm going to come see y'all and I'm going to preach. I just never have told a church that before. If y'all put me up, that's fine. I would like to go and know that I'm going to sit there and be under the sound of the gospel of other well-blessed ministers. But in the third chapter of Romans, which I look at as he's describing and defining and our depravity, our total depravity in the third chapter of Romans, certainly a doctrine. But in the ninth verse, he says, what then? Well, it says, in ninth verse, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So he makes that point there within this writing. Like I said, the church at Rome was made up of both Gentiles and Jews. Now, at some point, the Roman government dispersed all the Jews, sent them away, and so this leaves Gentiles there, mainly in that church, and so then the Jews, of course, they come back. And they're in the church there, both Jew and Gentile. And he made the point there in Romans 3 and 9 that we're all under sin. We're all sinful. And he emphasizes that in that third chapter. There were conflicts there between Jew and Gentile in that church. I don't know what that would be like. We see conflicts come up from time to time in churches. In our lifetime, we experience that. It's not pleasant. Yet, I've never been anywhere where there were such a difference in the theologies and the beliefs. And yet, the Christian Jews that were there, that Paul wrote this letter to, and the Gentiles, were so different. I would love to have seen some of the daily experiences here of that church at Rome and watch and see how closely we are still to the churches back then. But it's not needful to dwell on that. Now in the down in the 19th verse, he says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I didn't pronounce that right, but then he says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So, and Illyricum, this is the only place this is mentioned. And so there's no epistle to that church there. Where Paul traveled, he preached there, obviously, and where that is now today on the east coast of the Adriatic Sea. It's where Croatia and Albania and former Yugoslavia was up there. It was a huge area, but he went there, and I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He's getting ready to tell us here about going to Rome, and yet Rome was not his intended, his planned, destined, final destination. We'll see. But he's preached, he's fully preached the gospel of Christ. I don't know. I get curious. How many churches was the Apostle Paul a part of organizing? Where all did he go? And then the others that he preached with, Barnabas and Silas and Peter, we got all these others. So I don't know how many churches he established, where they existed, but so many in Asia, and we see all of those preaching journeys that he made that are documented and mapped and so forth, and that he dedicated his life to that. So as we continue here on 20th verse, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. Certainly we see that in God's word here. I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So this mentions that he's preached not places where Christ's name had not been mentioned. Another experience that I have not had. Everywhere I've gone to preach, Christ's name has been mentioned. It has been preached to the extent that they can hear me preach and recognize, is this the truth? Is this Scripture? Based on Scripture. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Now here it says, but as it is written, where he's speaking of is the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. This very thing was prophesied all the way back in Isaiah's time by Isaiah. 52nd Isaiah, the last verse in that chapter, 15th verse. So shall he sprinkle. Well, he's talking about Jesus Christ here, beginning in that 13th verse, and then speaks of his 14th verse. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So the Apostle Paul is quoting Isaiah in that he desires to go where Christ has not been preached. I think about really a first person minister that comes to mind is Brother Vernon Johnson, who's been over into Africa and all and preached. Whether or not Christ's name had been preached over there, I think I have not talked to him, visited with him much about this, but when he went, they had heard the name of Christ. So even Brother Vernon had not gone somewhere where Christ's name had never been mentioned. I don't know what that would be like. I mean, you'd have to really go into the Scripture, and God certainly would have to reveal that to them. It's all from God. A minister, a preacher cannot cause someone to believe God's Word. Certainly you can't. You would not believe it and trust in it were Jesus Christ not dwelling within you. But so he quotes Isaiah here. And really, I guess if I have a text, it's this 22nd verse. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. So he tells them, remember again, that he's writing this letter to the church at Rome, to these people there, and he already started out in the very first chapter of this saying he wanted to come, he intended to, he planned on it, and yet even then, in that first chapter of this letter, this epistle, he said he was hindered. But not with that word. But here he says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. So he's, and we'll read a little bit more here in his plan to go really through Rome. But I've always been, even before I was ordained to the ministry, I've always really tried to look at and meditate on hindrances. Am I supposed to go do this? Certainly in every aspect of my life, I believe we need to do that with godly meditation and thought and prayer in making these plans. I think of marriage, our natural marriages here, our unions. Certainly, as we plan to do that, then we should be prayerful about that, because this is till death do we part, and so we do that. But as relating to the church, I would try to judge: am I being hindered from going somewhere for a certain reason? Am I trying to rationalize something because I would just as soon not go? I mean, our human nature gets into all this. We have to constantly look at these. Look at our plans. Have I prayed about it? Have I just said, oh, well, I got nothing to do this particular weekend. I guess I'll go on Saturday to this meeting and go to church and all. Or have I really prayed about that? Have I prayed for the brothers and sisters there? Certainly, most ministers, pastors will say, well, if you can't come, pray for us. Do I do that? Am I hindered even in that respect? After even preaching so much about prayer in the last couple of weeks, I still have to battle myself to pray as I ought, in the right mindset. And as I do, at least now, this morning, as I sat there praying, I thought, am I saying a prayer of fervency, effectual, fervent prayer, being a righteous man, so that it will avail much, that it will prevail and be victorious? Am I doing that? And I believe God will bless us in those types of prayers if we strive. He strived to preach the gospel. He says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. Apostle Paul, and he still had, I know, Jesus Christ, and my grace is sufficient for thee. But he asked him thrice to remove that thorn in his flesh. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That was the answer to his prayer there. And yet he still strived and struggled. And think back all the physical things that the Apostle Paul suffered in preaching the gospel. But he kept at it. And then even in prison, he'd write these letters to the churches and the people. Now in 1 Thessalonians, I think it's the second chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's toward the end of that. Yeah, in the 18th verse. Apostle Paul here mentions, wherefore, to the church Thessalonica, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So in this particular case, Satan hindered him in that. Doesn't give any details there. We'll see in a moment that Satan is not hindering. He's not the hindrance of the Apostle Paul here in the 15th chapter of Romans. In 1 Corinthians 16th chapter, he mentions here, if I can find it. He says in the eighth verse, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So he mentions these adversaries that are a hindrance to him. But I might first, being the type, again, personality, the way I think, I know how I think and all, I might think that I have a hindrance that an adversary or Satan is a hindrance to me in something, when that's not it. I would rather look upon and think of these situations as the providence of God in guiding me in a certain direction, and even His protection. I think the most angry, the most time I more intensely lose my temper is in traffic. Learning to drive in Houston and then moving to the Dallas area, it's no wonder. Kathy would say, well, and I'd have to go some other way because of a traffic jam or something, it's gridlock. And she kindly reminds me, well, maybe we avoided something. Maybe we're being protected going this way. I'm on track, I have planned to get to a location at a specific time, and my schedule is completely thrown off. And I might get a little upset and all, so she, you know, graciously reminds you, well, maybe we're protected from something. And then it makes me angry that she's right, you know. So we all know about those emotions. But so we don't know in these hindrances all. We just, but we continue, it causes, it should cause us to pray. Let's go back to James chapter 5 and pray these prayers to him. And thank him for getting us somewhere safely. And that we weren't hindered by Satan or by adversaries. But he's telling the church at Rome, he says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Now, what cause? What's the cause? It's not Satan. It's not adversaries. We can look back and see. In the 20th verse again, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. And then he quotes Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15. And then he says, for that cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, for preaching the gospel, where Jesus, the name of Christ, has not been mentioned and named. That's what's hindered him. He's been following the guidance and the providence of God in where he would go in that. Certainly he did that. That's what's hindered him from coming to them. Now, we're still not through with this. We don't have the complete picture even yet. But now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. So these many years, I mean, he's been in prison. He's spoken to Nero and all these preaching trips. He's been on the churches he's established and all, being beaten and scourged and stoned, left for dead. And so this is his striving to preach the gospel. But now, having no more place in these parts. Okay, so he has no more place there. He's done. He sees that. He's planning to go to Rome. He's made plans. And I'm almost certainly, would that I could listen in on one of the Apostle Paul's prayers, even within himself, as he planned to go to these places, to hear those words, to have them penned in this book. But it's not here. These many years to come to you. He's desired. So he's telling them again. He wants to come see them. He's never been there. He was not the establishing preacher. No, this church constitution we went to a few weeks ago over in Blue Ridge, that the church is going to be in Indian Creek and near cemetery, Indian Creek Cemetery out there in the country outside of that town. But the pastor of the church, the Denton Church, which extended the arm of fellowship to Indian Creek, was Elder Thomas McDonald. He's the pastor at Denton. Elder Vernon Johnson and Elder Kimmy Morris are the two ministers who are now charter members of that new church. And they were there. And when Brother Ed Kirkpatrick delivered the charge to this newly formed church, Brother Vernon was sitting there. He was a spokesman of that new church. And so all those ministers were there. Other of us ministers were there, and deacons in the constitution of that, in the presbytery. And so I think, okay, the church in Rome, that's where I think. I want to go see some minutes of that meeting and see what was that like. How are we doing it the same? I believe we are. I believe we are following Scripture. But Paul has a desire. He has for years to go see this church at Rome and to visit these Jews and Gentiles there. And yes, they had conflict, this church there at Rome, he wanted to go there and to see them and to preach to them and be comforted with them, preach the gospel to them, as we saw in the first chapter. So now, in the 24th verse, he gives another part of this puzzle or this picture here. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. Okay, that's where I'm saying that his destination, he's not going to come to Rome. Like, if I go next weekend, next Saturday up to Denton to that church, that's my destination. That's where I attend. I'm not going to Denton on my way to Wichita Falls or something. I'm going to Denton. That's my destination. Rome is not his destination. He's going to come and see them. He has a desire to see them and preach to them. He's written this epistle, this letter, this wonderful letter to them and to us. Inspired word of God. But he's going to come see them and preach to them in person, face to face, and be comforted with them. So whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you on the way. Because Spain, obviously, it's west of Italy. So he goes to Rome on his way to Spain, and then sails, or either I read 4 to 10 day trip, either by boat partially, and to get across to Spain, where it is. So I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. So in this journey to Spain, he wants to see them, and to be brought on my way thitherward. It's a neat word, thitherward, by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. But first, before I come see you, which I have a great desire, and then go on to Spain and preach, then I'm going to go to Jerusalem. This is his plan. He's telling them his plan. And yet I'd be willing to bet that he has a loose grip on that. As we read of his travels in Asia, he was forbidden to go up north, and he was sent west there in that. So he followed the Spirit of God in his travels and his preaching. I think about what subject matter did he use in his sermons to all of these people, those that had never heard the name of Christ? What words did he say to where then God touched that message with those people, and they understood it and then believed it and then carried on as the church? Then I think back to the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. There, more than 3,000 joined the church that day. They heard his sermon there, right there, so soon after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he's going to go to Jerusalem first. But he's been hindered from coming to them because he's been preaching the gospel to those. But now having no more place in these parts, he realizes his work in that region has come to an end. You probably know this, but it's not recorded anywhere. We don't know that he ever made it to Spain. It's possible. But we have no writings on it. I would think, okay, somewhere, wherever he went there, if he went to Spain and preached the gospel in that region, in that country, then there would be some record of that. But that's the way I think. But there is none, and we don't know if he ever made it to Spain. Again, he ended up at Rome, and he was in and out of prison. He was under house arrest, again, striving to preach the gospel. But he planned to go to Spain. We don't know if that plan materialized, but he told the church at Rome, I'm going to come see you. I desire this, but I've been hindered because I've been preaching the gospel. He wasn't hindered by Satan, by adversaries. Now, you think about him striving to preach the gospel and up there in Asia and some of those situations I described and all, when he was stoned and left for dead. And then he would go back to that, like that church at Antioch and Iconium and up the Lystra up there in Asia. And he went back to preach there. That was him striving to preach. His faithfulness to God, to Jesus Christ, to preach the name of Jesus Christ should be inspiring to us. And yet he called himself the chief of sinners. He knew who he was. And yet he did this. I've suffered nothing. I don't know, really. I would have to really think back. When have I been hindered in anything in serving him? Except by my own thoughts and my own sinfulness, my own rebelling against him. This hindrance here that hindered him from coming to that church in Rome and preaching to them was not of Satan, as he told the Thessalonians. It was not adversarial, but it was his preaching the gospel, but his work was done. He was again following God's guidance and going to, he wanted to go to Spain, but go through Italy to Rome, to that church there, and preach to them, be comforted with them, preach the gospel, and encourage them. And as you read Romans, think about those people reading this letter, and what conflicts were they having? We'll never know in totality. But he loved them, and he, as I read in that 13th verse of the 15th chapter, he encouraged them. He didn't beat them over the head with this stuff and criticize them. And yet he would get strong in some of his exhortations and his teaching the churches. But he was an encouragement to them and had a desire to go and be comforted with them. So I hope this has been of some interest to you and been blessed in hearing it. If not, you can lay it to my charge.